If you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse number 24. I'm going to read about 10 verses. Matthew 6, beginning in verse number 24. We'll read through verse 34. While you're finding your place, I just want to say that last Sunday, or the last teaching, I feel like I looked and I think I only taught like 25 minutes, which is really quick, as you know, for us here. Today will be a little bit longer. I have some information that the Lord's put on my heart that I want to share with you. I titled this Human Anxiety or Heaven's Authority. Human Anxiety or Heaven's Authority. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 24. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." Here in the Bible, we find that Jesus, he has went up into a mountain, and he's begun to teach. And we find that this is the Sermon on the Mount, and multitudes had gathered, and he has his disciples, and he begins to teach, and we get to this section of his sermon, and I want to share it with you just for a little while, because I believe, number one, it's very relevant to where we are in life, and maybe where we are in regard to what we think and what we feel, and it's also, I believe, important, and I think God wants us to hear it, because it ain't only just what we're dealing with, but it's what God wants for our life. Some things that are said in this passage of Scripture. And as I titled it, Human Anxiety or Heavenly Authority or Heaven's Authority, my title's in the form of a choice. You pick one or the other. And I believe that when Jesus is teaching right here, I believe he's addressing worry, he's addressing anxiety, but I believe he's also telling them what to do instead of worrying. As if it is a choice. You'll pick one or the other. From verse 24, he says you can only have one master. You'll love one and hate the other. So he says you'll pick one or the other, and they just both don't work together. And I believe that's the same for where we are. I don't believe that we fully submit to heaven's authority and still be consumed by human anxiety. And so I believe that what I'm hearing is that Lord is just saying that we have to choose one or the other. And so I want to deal with that, because I know this to be true. There's so many people that's worried right now. And we go through waves of emotions and waves of fear. We've been talking about it the last couple of weeks. And I know there's a lot of people that is worried about all that's going on. There's a lot of people that you may not be right now, but you have been some, and you may be that way again before long, you know, or be tempted to be at least. So I know that we all seems like we're dealing with some worry, and maybe not all of us, but there's a lot of us that's dealing with worry. And so I want to deal with that, but more so I want to deal not so much with the worry, but what we should be doing, and what I hear the Lord saying in me to Neesmith Church and to us, what God is wanting us to do. And so I just want to bring some things out of this scripture here and share my heart with you and share the Lord's heart with you in what I hear the Lord saying in my spirit. Number one, if we choose between human anxiety or heavenly authority, I think what God is saying that he don't want us to worry. Jesus is telling them, don't worry. I know that in life you got a lot of stuff going on and it is easy to worry, but he's saying don't worry. And I believe the Lord is saying, I believe with everything in me, what I feel and when I read the scripture and in my prayer and hearing the Lord, that God is telling he don't want his people to worry during these times. We're not supposed to worry during these times. And even in this part of his sermon, he teaches about worry. And I want to bring out from this portion of his sermon 7 reasons why not to worry. Real quick. 7 reasons why we shouldn't worry. From Jesus' words himself, 7 reasons why we should not worry. Number one, it is his will that we don't worry. Listen, it is his will that we do not worry. Look at verse number 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, the body more than raiment? He says, take no thought. He says, do not worry. He didn't say you don't need to worry, or I wish you wouldn't worry, or it bothers me when you worry. He says don't worry. He's sitting on this mount. He's teaching this word, and he looks at this multitude, and he tells them, do not worry. I believe it is an imperative statement from the mouth of God himself. He is telling us don't worry. I believe he's telling us not that it's an option. He's telling us do not worry. It's an imperative command. Do not worry. God has commanded his blood-bought church, do not worry. And I'm saying this to you, and I'm saying it to me, that we need to be obedient unto God by not worrying. I believe that when we harbor anxiety and when we harbor worry, when we let it consume our minds, then we are being disobedient to the word of God, because he tells us not to worry. It is a command, don't worry. So reason number one that we don't need to worry is because God is commanding his church, his people, do not worry. And that's enough. Hey, look, I'm about to give you 6 more reasons, but we can stop right there. That's reason enough. Just the fact that God tells us not to do it is enough not to do it. Some of us, you know what I'm talking about. You got kids, and you tell them don't do something, and they say, why? And you say, because I'm your mom or I'm your daddy, and I told you so. I tell you not to, and that's the only reason you need to worry about. Listen, the only reason that we need to know why we shouldn't worry is because our Savior, our Lord, tells us not to, and that ought to be enough. Number one, it ain't his will for us to worry. Number two, let me give you another reason why we shouldn't worry. Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit unto his stature? Number two, because worry don't help. Second reason why we shouldn't worry, because worrying ain't going to make anything any better. It ain't going to help nothing at all. Worrying is never productive. Worrying is never fruitful. Second reason why you shouldn't worry is because it ain't going to help nothing anyway. Jesus tells them that. He said, how's it going to make anything any better if you worry about it? So the second reason why you shouldn't worry is because it don't help none. Somebody say amen. Number three, Third reason why, if you're taking notes, watch nature. I wrote down watch nature. Look at verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Look at verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So what are you saying? I'm saying this, watch nature. When you behold nature, what you are beholding is the nature of the Creator. Jesus is saying, watch, just look at how nature works. What you find when you behold nature is you see the nature of the Creator Himself. In other words, Jesus says this, the Creator always takes care of His creation. Did you hear that? The Creator always takes care of His creation. Jesus says, just look at the nature. Just look around. Look at the lilies in the valley. Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. Look around. Look at nature. Look at creation. And what you will begin to see that it is the nature of the Creator to take care of His creation. I'm telling you that it is the nature of God to take care of you. It is His nature. It's just what He does. It's just how He is. It's just how He operates. And Jesus tells them, behold the Creator. Watch Him. It's just what He does. He takes care of that which is His. So, third reason not to worry is because God's going to take care of you. He always has. He always took care of that which He created. He always will. Number four, I wrote down your worth. Your worth. Also look at verse 26, the last part. Are ye not much better than they? Talking about the birds. Look at verse 30. Wherefore, if God will clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? Now listen to that. He says, if God will take care of a bird so good, if He takes so much care of the bird, and if God does so much to care for the lilies, and then later on they'll be burned up and scorched in the heat and in the sun. If God takes so much time and takes such good care of these things, and you being so much more valuable than these things, how much more will He take care of you? So listen, you shouldn't worry because it's God's nature to take care of the things He created. But on top of that, you just so happen to be the most valuable thing He's created. So should you not believe that He's going to take care of you? Out of all creation, you are the most valuable because you bear His image and His likeness. You were designed that way. He died for you. You are the most valuable of all creation. And if He will take care of the least of His creation so good, then how much more is He going to take care of the most valuable of His creation? You don't need to worry. You're worth too much to God to think He ain't going to take care of you. Number five, watch this. You shouldn't worry because worry is the way of the world. Look at verse 32. For after all these things did the Gentiles seek. You're worried about this and worried about that. He says, that's what the Gentiles do. That's what they devote their life to money and to food and to the clothes and all these things mentioned. He said, that's what the lost world does. That's what the Gentiles do. Jesus is telling them this. And we need to hear what He's saying to us. We don't need to walk around worried because that's what the world does. That's what those do that don't know Jesus Christ, that are not blood bought by Him and born again and regenerated and walking in covenant with Him. It's the way of the world to worry. not the way of the believer, not the way of the bride of Christ. That is not how we're supposed to be. That is not how we're supposed to operate. We shouldn't show panic on our faces because we are the children of the Most High. He gave us power to be the sons and daughters of God. We are His, and that is not the way we act. Jesus tells them that's the way the Gentiles act. Not the followers of Christ. So number five, it's the way of the world. You shouldn't worry. Because that's the way the world's supposed to act, not you and not me. Number six. Another reason why you shouldn't worry is because God is wise concerning your needs. Look at verse 32 again. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Your Father knows what you need. Your Father knows what you need. Many of you are parents, and you know what it's like to have a small child that the child itself at that age didn't know what it needed. It depended on you to know what that child needed. My littlest one, Holland, she don't know what she needs. She don't know what she needs. It's up to me and her mama to know what she needs and to give her what she needs. And I want you to understand, your heavenly Father, He knows what you need. He knows what you need more than you know what you need. He is your Father. It's what He does. He takes care of you, and He knows what you need. You think He don't know? He knows exactly what you need. And you don't need to worry, because He is wise concerning your needs. He knows exactly what it is that you need. And He's going to take care of you. And number seven, last reason why you shouldn't worry, is because there's way more to life. There's way more for you than whatever you're worried about. Whatever it is that you're worried about, I promise you there's things that is far more important. Whatever you are worried about will always be inferior. Will always be inferior to what God has for you. He says, take no thought. Don't worry. Take no thought. There's nothing that can be on your mind, consuming your mind, that is more important than the kingdom of God. Whatever you are worried about is insignificant. Whatever it is insignificant in light of the kingdom of God. So look what he says. He spends all these verses telling them why they shouldn't worry. Don't worry, don't worry. And this is why you shouldn't worry. But rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Don't worry, but seek first the kingdom of God. And what I'm hearing the Lord say to you and I, don't worry. I know you've been struggling with some worry, but don't worry. But God didn't stop there by telling us what not to do. What He's telling us to do right now during this season, that this is not to be a season of worry and not to be a season of anxiety, but right now it's to be a season of seeking His kingdom. Listen to me, Neesmith Church. The most important thing I've got to say to you right now is not about worrying, but about seeking the kingdom of God. And when he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added unto you. We've heard this over and over, such a very familiar scripture. But yet still there's questions that arise when we read it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does he mean? We got to ask ourselves, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? And I want to ask this question. What is the kingdom of God? If we're going to seek it, what are we seeking? What does it mean by the kingdom of God? And then what does it mean to seek? Or how do we seek? And I want to answer these as quick as I can. Because I hear the Lord saying, right now, seek the kingdom of God. Kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's mentioned 126 times in the Gospels, 55 times in the book of Matthew. After the Gospels, it's mentioned only 34 more times in the New Testament. Just for time's sake, I want to simplify this. We could spend hours and hours in discussing and talking about what the kingdom of God is. But let me just give you in its simplest form. I believe what he means by the kingdom of God and seeking the kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God. Listen to me. The rule and the reign of God. The rule and the reign of God that creates a realm and that influences a people. God's rule and God's reign creates a realm and it influences the people in which he rules and reigns. Listen to me. God's saying, seek my rule and seek my reign. Psalm 103:19, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. I believe right now in this season, church, we are to be seeking God's complete rule and reign over our lives. Worry ain't going to do nothing but hinder that and stand in the way, and you're going to have to choose one or the other. You're either going to have to devote your time to worrying about what's going on, and that ain't going to help you none, or you can devote your time to God's rule and reign over your life. His rule and his reign. I believe in these last days, God wants us to seek out and come to the place where God is completely ruling over us and reigning in every facet of who we are, every aspect of our being, that God has complete authority and complete reign and complete rule over our mind and our thoughts and our hearts and our emotion and our bodies and our lifestyles and our families and our choices and our decisions. That in every aspect, God rules and reigns over us. I believe that's the kingdom of God. Listen to this, just for time's sake. Luke 17:21, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Luke 11:20, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom is come upon you. It's so interesting because on one hand, Jesus is saying the kingdom is here. But on one hand, he said it's coming. It's coming and yet it now is. Right here, we see the kingdom of God is within us, but it's also something that comes upon us. Listen to me. The kingdom was within us, but it also comes upon us. Let me tell you what I wrote down. The kingdom of God is the rule and the reign of God over me that currently brings his internal presence within me and an external power upon me. Let me read it again. The rule and reign of God over me that currently brings his internal presence and his external power. I'm saying this, that when we seek the rule and the reign of God in our lives, it will bring an internal presence and an external power. He says the kingdom of God is in you. But when you see me cast out devils, when you see power manifest, you'll know the kingdom of God has come upon you. So I believe again, let me read what I wrote down defining the kingdom. It's the rule and reign of God over me that currently brings his internal presence with an external power preceding a futuristic, literal, eternal kingdom. It's coming and now he is. What God is saying right now is a season in our life. And it may be crazy and chaotic, but it is not a season to worry. But it is a season to seek the kingdom of God. The rule and reign of God in my life that brings an internal presence and an external power. Seek ye the kingdom. Seek ye the kingdom. The Greek word for seek is zeteo. And it means to desire or to demand or to search or investigate or to look for or to make effort for. This Greek word, the Greek tense, is present imperative. It means to make a lifestyle of or to make a pattern of. Or when the situation arises, do this. In other words, I believe what he's telling them on the mountain is every time in life temptation to worry arises, choose not to worry, rather seek the kingdom. Seek his rule and his reign. Make it a pattern in your life to seek after his rule and his reign in your life. His rule and reign that brings an internal presence and an external power. We are to seek the kingdom. Seek his authority in our lives. I think it's summed up as simple as this right here. To be sold out. To let Jesus have every bit of you. Have access to every bit of you. To give it all over to him. I think in these last times and in these last days, with all that's going on, God's going to do a great work in the church, because I believe people are going to begin to pursue the kingdom of God. They're going to come to the place where they allow God to completely rule and reign over every fiber and every bit of who they are. And that's what I hear God saying to us right now, Neesmith Church. I want to reign over every bit of you. Every single part of you, every area of your life. Seek the kingdom of God. How do we seek it? I'm ending right here. Let me give you three ways we seek the kingdom of God. Three ways we seek the kingdom of God. And I really believe it's in a culmination of all three, a combination of all three. I wrote down three things: pisteo, passion, and prayer. Number one, pisteo. If you look at verse number 30, he says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall ye not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" I believe faith has everything to do with the kingdom of God. When we seek, if we're going to pursue the kingdom of God, if we're going to search for the kingdom of God, we seek the kingdom by faith. By faith. We believe in our hearts, because a kingdom, when we talk about a kingdom, we're talking about the king, really, is what we're talking about. The king, the king's rule and reign. By faith in the king, Jesus Christ, by faith we seek the kingdom. Pisteo, faith. Number two, passion. To seek means to desire, to go after. What I'm telling you, church, is that our desires should be for the kingdom of God, for a king that has rule and reign over us, that brings an internal presence and an external power. We should, in our passions and in our desires, we should go after, we should want the kingdom of God. Listen to me. We should want his rule and reign in our lives. We should desire it. We should long for it. We should thirst for it. We should be hungry for it. We seek by faith. We seek by our passions, our desires. If you're seeking the kingdom of God, you are wanting the kingdom of God. And number three, by prayer. And I'm closing with this. Matthew 16, just a little bit before, this is what Jesus says. After this manner, therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is praying, asking for the kingdom. And he's teaching them that in their prayers, they should pray that God's kingdom would come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His rule and His reign, His heavenly reign would extend throughout the earth in our lives, every bit of who we are. So I'm telling you this, how are we going to seek the kingdom during this time? Number one, we ain't going to worry. We're not going to let our mind be consumed with worry. That ain't going to help nothing anyway. God don't want us to. God's too good to us to worry. That ain't even going to be an option. We're not going to choose worry. We're going to choose His heavenly authority. We're going to choose the rule and reign of King Jesus in our lives, and we're going to choose it by faith, by our desires for it, our emotions, and we're going to go into our prayer closet, and we are going to ask God for the kingdom. Through prayer, we are asking God to completely rule and reign over us, asking for the internal presence with an external power. We pray and we ask for the kingdom. Listen, church. Listen. God don't want you to worry. But He does want to rule and reign over you and in you. He wants to reign and rule inside of you. And right now, we may not can be together on Sundays, but in our hearts and with our faith and through our prayers, we can pursue the kingdom of God, His rule and His reign. Right now. So again, church, I'm telling you, don't choose the anxiety. Choose the authority. Seek the kingdom. Seek the King and His rule and His reign. Seek Him. Pursue Him. Let us pray.